From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the ninth day of March 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the U of I, will be here to talk about consumption and soybeans. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Oh, and we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, in Chicago this afternoon, March corn finished three lower at $3.74 and a quarter. The May down three and a quarter, $3.72 and 3/4. July corn at $3.75, 4 and a quarter lower. And December down five and a quarter, $3.76 and a quarter. The March soybeans 19 3/4 lower, $8.63 and a half. The settlement price there. May down 21 1/4 at $8.70. July off 21 cents in the soybeans at $8.79. And November $8.86 and a quarter, down 19 1/4. The bean oil down $1.17 at $27.31. Bean meal down $4.70 for the day at $2.96.60. Wheat futures soft red. The July at $5.18 3/4, two higher for the afternoon. Hard red down 4 3/4 at $4.48 3/4. Live cattle futures $2.90 lower in the April at $102.85. Feeders down $4.50. That's the expanded limit at $126.20. And lean hogs $2.92 1/2 lower at $63 even. Crude oil $10 lower or thereabouts, around $31 at this hour. Ethanol futures down 4 3/10 cents at $1.19. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 21 2/10 cents at $1.17 a gallon. April down 24 3/10 cents. The RBOB, that's $1.14 1/2 now. And natural gas at $1.78 9/10 is up 0.08. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off around 1,800 points. The U.S. dollar is down 1.07. And the gold futures at $1,675.60, up $4.80. Here to help us make sense of what's happened in Chicago and New York for this really rough day in the marketplace is Kurt Kimmel. He's from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. I guess good afternoon to you, Kurt. I hope your day was okay.
Oh, another Monday. I need to switch days. I cannot believe it.
You keep it up, and we're going to ask you to switch days.
It's very simple. You listen to Mike sell, then you buy when I'm on here. It's, oh, gosh, that's not work, but maybe two times.
Yeah, so I know what happened, or relatively speaking what happened, a couple of things. Coronavirus, and then late on Friday, the Saudis and the Russians didn't get along, and they decided they were both going to put a lot of crude oil on the marketplace. That dumped crude last night. The combination of the two, it appears, really took a toll on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500 in New York. Is that, roughly speaking, how things happened?
Yeah, pretty much so. And in comparison, how bad the crude oil is, if you buy a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, it equals about a price of one barrel of crude oil. So this crude oil has just been devastated. And on top of that, Russia, I don't know if this is true, but there was comments that Russia said it can weather $25 to $30 crude oil for a period of 6 to 10 years. That's kind of hard to believe, but most definitely the market is in free fall position here. We're quite a bit lower than the cost of production in most areas. There's been a lot of interest in booking some fuel needs here for this spring, and I think that's a plus because this market's given the opportunity to lower your input costs somewhat. But we're just not going to go down and come straight up out of the hole here. It's just going to take some time for this market to heal. So the coronavirus is still going to run its course. It's still probably 30 to 45 days out before stabilizing. More stories hitting home here. The story about the Amtrak train from Chicago to St. Louis. There was a person on there. So, you know, it's a concern. Did stimulate a little bit of demand. We saw 123,000 beans sell to unknown destination. But for this market to gain some confidence and bring back the bull, we're going to have to see some Chinese business, and that's probably later than sooner.
Well, we'll talk about that as it relates to soybeans in just a second, but it was a pretty impressive day for corn, frankly, to be down just 3 cents or 4 or 5 cents in the face of a 20 or a cent loss in the soybeans. That's not so bad.
Well, hopefully it stays that way. You know, we still have time. I don't know what 2 o'clock in the morning is going to bring, but hopefully not another phone call. But anyway, it suggests that the Eastern Corn Belt is tight. The bull spread continues to hang in there. Basis levels continue to remain firm in through here. We've got a monthly supply demand crop report tomorrow. It doesn't matter what the numbers are probably going to say. It's going to be a situation we'll watch the outside marketplace. Last week at the beef house meeting there, Lance did indicate don't really expect any major big changes. If we see some changes, it's going to be later on. I believe he relayed that maybe they'll try to resurvey that situation in the Northwest, so it could be May, if not June, before we see some fine-tuning. One other thing he did mention was the feed use category. They consider that kind of miscellaneous category. We believe true feed use is strong. It's even stronger yet because of the low test weights. But if you're looking for some adjustments, kind of keep an eye on that feed and residual use. That seemed to be an indicator where they might make some fine-tuning adjustments here as they move forward.
Let's stay with a couple of positive things. Why did wheat manage to have an up day in the face of so much red across the floor?
There was talk of some Chinese business, wheat, DDGs, and I think that was a little bit of it. But spread activity. You saw wheat up, beans down, corn down slightly. And we even saw spread activity in the energy sector, too, of crude down, heating oil down, gas down, but natural gas was up. So these commodity funds just aren't all one-sided. They can try to manage risk and to spread a little bit of this off so they're not just exposed tremendously. One other observation, not to change the story here, where you're going, but at the beef house there, we had the opportunity to sit down with two traders out of Chicago and got to pick their brain a little bit. And one thing I noticed that they, number one priority they have is define their risk. If they cannot define the risk, they do not put the trade on at all. So they've got a plan and stick to the plan. And the one person they kind of liked to listen to was Dan Zwicker on Thursday. They kind of liked the technical approach because that gives them benchmarks to go by. But the most positive thing is, Todd, they tune into you, them not having to be on the floor anymore. They came out of the meal pit. They don't have that camaraderie or that voice communication with other traders and stuff, and they really enjoy listening to your program, Todd.
Well, I know they were in the back of the room. I wish I had a chance. I don't think I met them. Maybe I did, but I met a lot of people during the day. Glad that they're listening and they're paying attention. It's interesting that they're using, you know, the radio station as a substitute for the floor. I bet that doesn't work all that well, but it might work okay, I suppose.
Hopefully it's not a fading opportunity.
Yeah. I said that the other thing I wanted to ask you about, so soybeans had a really tough day. Were they just down in concert with the crude oil, or what happened to them?
I think it's a combination of all of the above. We're not seeing the export business. Export inspections was kind of down at the lower end. The trade believes if we do see some export business, it's going to be later on. But two, I think the thing is the South American harvest is picking up momentum. It is a little wet in the north, a little dry in Argentina, but as of right now, there's no pork trucker strike to slow those beans down at the moment. And I think they kind of took some risk off the table here by selling beans.
And finally, good or bad news that the dollar was down a full point?
Well, that's a long story. I've voiced my opinion on that. But for all those that believe that a weak dollar means higher grain prices, let's get this thing rolling here.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmelees with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, is here now to talk about his weekly outlook posted to the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. This week, he talks about consumption and soybeans. What does it look like?
Well, I'm talking about what the coronavirus may do to consumption in soybeans, particularly meal and oil, and maybe how it would impact exports. Before we saw this huge rundown today on basically an oil price shock that's shocked the markets. You know, we've seen strong crush relatively so far this marketing year. We've had three record months of crush, but even with those, we're basically on pace with that last year's number. There is a potential for stronger crush as we move through the rest of the year, but this coronavirus issue is hanging over a lot of it. You know, soybean meal, we've got a lot of livestock on the hoof. There's plenty of place for soybean meal in the ration. But if we see meat demand fall off in the future due to this coronavirus issue and everybody pulling back on normal activities, that could hurt soybean meal prices moving forward, which would hurt crush because meal tends to drive crush. We've also seen meal exports down a little bit year over year for their marketing year through January. Oil. You know, China's coming back on with their crushers now. In the short term, they're going to have a lot of soybean oil because I don't think they're using it at the level we want. We have seen strong oil exports, and I think you might see USDA raise their export projection in tomorrow's WASDE. But domestically, we've seen somewhat weak soybean oil use. Biodiesel, they lowered 300 million pounds in the February WASDE. And when you look at the EIA data through January, we're well behind soybean oil use and biodiesel, so that might weaken a little bit more. So we're seeing sort of for soybean oil exports offsetting some weakness in domestic use. But overall for crush, I think it's really coming down to how does this coronavirus thing work through, particularly the meat sector.
Yeah, is that a global meat sector event or a domestic one?
I'm most concerned domestically, personally. It is a global issue. And we're seeing it in the EU. We're starting to see Asia sort of come out of it, so I expect that to pick up a little bit, and I think that may be supportive, particularly with Argentina raising their export taxes on soybean products. If that does lower their export numbers in soybean meal and oil, we could pick up some of that, particularly to Asia. Philippines is always a big soybean meal buyer for us, and so if they come out of it in relatively good health and get back to somewhat normal business, I think there's some support there. But for me, I think as this coronavirus issue and continues to spread through the United States, what it does here over the next couple of months is something to pay attention to. There's a lot of uncertainty about it, and it's really hard right now to say where we're going. Now, it does feel like at some point it's going to run itself out, but how much damage will be done in the meantime is the question.
So it's probably about the hourly wage earners and their ability to purchase proteins?
I think it's more of people will not travel as much. People will not go out to eat as much. Meetings will be canceled. You know, everybody thinks in their normal life what they do in a given week or month. You know, you go to church, you go out at something, you go bowling, you're out eating, you know, you go to meetings and there's food there. If all that contracts back into the household, you just don't eat as much meat in that kind of scenario, typically, right? And so that's a concern. Now, it may or may not come into play, but it feels like it's heading that way right now. The question is how much. I would expect, and I do expect, exports of meat to pick up to China. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to alleviate if we see a real contraction in domestic meat demand in the United States. I mean, we are the world's largest meat eater, and a lot of our meal goes into those rations. So, you know, if those kind of supplies get backed up, we see, you know, cattle on feed and hog placements sort of contract as we move into the third quarter, we're in a different place then.
How are we doing compared to last year?
It's about the same, I think, from the USDA on.
Does that surprise you? I mean, it seems like it ought to be better than last year.
It does seem that way. Now that, you know, consumption per per person measure moves around a little bit, but I think you're about there. I mean,
I suppose usage consumption. Yeah.
Yeah, we We tend to consume about the same amount. At this point, it's sort of flat. It's basically with population growth.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Boy, was it a gorgeous weekend, Mark, though I take it we're going to get rain at least temporarily this week. Can you tell me about what's happening across the Midwest?
Well, thanks, Todd. Yeah, looking out ahead here, today is really the first day of rain in Illinois, let alone much of the Corn Belt, really something that has been infrequent here of late. And actually, the pattern for the next couple of weeks, it's turning more active across the middle portion of the country. Well, that'll keep areas such as the Delta on the wet side as it has been, but that wetness will begin to extend northward and begin to encompass more of the Midwest. Now, we're not seeing anything that's like, you know, extremely wet or large scale, well above normal precipitation, but with the upcoming jet stream pattern that features this trough of low pressure across the western U.S., ridge of high pressure across the southeastern U.S., that's placing the middle of the country in a southwest flow jet stream pattern, you know, which is different than what we've seen here of late, which has been more of a west to east flow pattern, with this now southwest flow pattern that's going to be, you know, introducing more rain opportunities for us.
So we'll get some rainfall. How much?
Well, as we look first for like today, most of the rain activity looks to total anywhere from a quarter inch on the lower end of the range to upwards to around an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter in areas of like central and northern Illinois. Some of the highest totals look to be just further west in areas such as Missouri and Arkansas, where over 2 inches is expected. So again, it's more rain than we've seen here of late, any kind of inundation, you know, in over large scale areas.
Okay, so the places that will be going or probably are thinking they should be going will be parts of Texas, the Delta region, even some places in the southeast. What do conditions look like across the southern tier of states in the U.S.?
Well, the southeastern U.S., they are going to see improvement following the very wet weather here in recent weeks. So places such as southern Alabama and southern Georgia and the Carolinas, they look in a more favorable pattern here, or a drier pattern here coming up. Further west, though, the southern Delta and then on into Texas, that's the wet spot, as it has been of late. So any planting progress here will be slowed in those areas, not only this week, but even into next week as well.
In the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, are they getting warm temperatures?
They have been recently, although now beginning to transition to a bit more of a cooler temperature bias in places such as the Dakotas and Minnesota here coming up. Much of the turn to cooler weather looks to take place late this week and into the upcoming weekend, which then looks to persist next week. We don't see any extreme cold coming in, but in places such as, well, the northern plains like Montana and the Canadian Prairies, we do see more significant cold. But obviously the bigger story is just the change in the temperatures across the northwestern Corn Belt, you know, versus the highly anomalous warmth of March so far.
Okay, so across those northern tier of states, I think probably they would have liked to have had enough heat to get rid of the snow, but they'd also like to stay in the teens, lower 20s to actually shuck corn. I think those are the right temperatures, though I'm not certain about that. What do you think over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah. Ideally, they'd like to see warmer conditions here, at least in the short term, from now through Thursday, with highs in the 40s, even some 50s here today, and then minimum temperatures in the 20s. Again, that should help improve things. But once we start to get into next week, that will be more consistent, you know, temperatures or daytime afternoon temperatures in the 30s, minimum temperatures in the 20s here coming up.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. Let's take a look now at what's been happening in the cash grain market. We're joined by Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
What'd farmers say today? Anything?
Well, nothing too pleasant. No, it was just a rough day today across the board. Obviously, the stock market has been down, and with crude being down, I mean, wheat had a positive day, but here in central Illinois, that's not as impactful as what we saw happen in corn and beans. And as we talked, relatively speaking, beans were taking the brunt of it today. So just not a great day, not a lot of movement in general. I guess you're going to have some of that, and we kind of saw it coming yesterday with what we had in the news over the weekend. So not a positive day today, but I guess we'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll try again tonight and tomorrow and see how things go. I wonder what's the thought about Saudi Arabia and Russia rushing to the bottom here. Looks like they're going to stay the course with this for a while. How much of a wet blanket might that be?
Well, I mean, we've got an S&D tomorrow too, but not expecting a lot of adjustments there. So that being said, I mean, we could be trading the Russia and Saudi Arabia news here if we don't get any new information from our own S&D tomorrow. So, I guess it really depends on what happens there and how long the trade wants to pursue it. But right now, there's just a lot of negativity out there, between coronavirus starting us off and then everything else that's going on. And, of course, we have our acreage intentions at the end of the month, so that's got some nerves around it, too. But, what we've seen happen here the past couple weeks is we really get beat down and then kind of come back a little bit. Maybe it's been over and done for a second. So, maybe we'll see a little bit of recovery tonight just because we had such an aggressive reaction today.
Did soybean basis follow soybean futures lower?
Actually, it did not, not locally. So, and basis remains strong, corn and beans in this part of the world. So, and really, I don't think that any of us feel like that's going to change anytime soon. We're an inverted cash market here in both corn and beans slightly too. So, basis is telling a little bit different story than what futures is.
Yeah. So when you say that it didn't, is that mean it didn't widen out any more than the narrow range it already was, or did it narrow up?
We didn't have any changes here today, really. So, of course, the rail market's going to fluctuate some, but no real big changes today, and our posted basis has remained the same.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joined us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. You can check the whole of the program out again if you'd like on our website. Play it right there from WILLAG.org. And I do mean that. Just play it right there from the website if you'd like. You can also find the opening market report, a couple of reports in between. Commodity Week is there as well. Or if you'd prefer, you can use your favorite podcast application like SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, NPR One, the Google Play Store, even Apple Podcast. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking your time to spend with Illinois Public Media, the Closing Market Report, and all of our ag programming. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.